When I think about music and songs, I have to think about what we're here to do. This is not American Idol. It's not The Voice. It's not America's Got Talent. We're here to worship an Almighty God.
Amen.
Lift His name up. This song, it's got some great words in it. It says, I'm lifting up my hands. I'm lifting up my voice. Lifting up Your name. Because this morning, it's all about lifting up the name of Jesus.
Right.
I pray that you just pray for the choir, pray for us as we sing this song. Open the eyes of my heart.
I want to see you.
eyes of our hearts. Amen. He sees our hearts. He knows our hearts. He knows what we're here for today. That's what's important for us, that we give Him glory and honor. Let's stand and sing about how great Thou art. Sing the first and last verse. Page 10 in your hymn book. The word will be on the screen. Thank you.
He will not last. Mary and Martha watch their brother die. They waited for Jesus, he did not come, and they wondered why. The death watch was over. Buried 4 days. Somebody said he'll soon be here. The Lord's on. Martha ran to him, and then she cried, Lord, if you had been here, you could have healed him and still be alive. But you're 4 days late, and all hope is gone. Lord, we don't.
Is still on time. Praise the name of the Lord. He's alive and I'm forgiven. Heaven's gates are open wide. Have your Bibles this morning. I'll give you a Bible. This verse. Asa. And that's in Isaiah 54, verse 13. 54, 13. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord. And great is the peace of thy children. All thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and pray shall be the peace of thy children. We want to preach today on saving the children for Jesus. You know, need I remind you that children are very precious to the Lord, and children are a heritage of the Lord. The Bible says in Psalms 127, and the fruit of thy womb is thy reward. As heirs in the hands of a mighty man, so are the children of that youth. Blessed, happy is the person, is that one who hath his quiver full of them. So God loves children. Jesus loves the little children of the world. Some today look upon children as an inconvenience. The abortionists look on children as, you know, a nuisance. But I'm thankful today that instead of being a burden, children are a blessing.
Yeah.
Children are precious in God's sight. The word precious means of great value. I looked it up in Webster. Great value. And so we're talking today about parenting and seeing about the importance of children. We're going to think about what we can give our children. There's something that we can all give to our children. Whether you're a parent, mother, father, grandparent, whoever you are, you can give something to children. There's tremendous pressure today on the home. Zig Ziglar has written a book called Raising Positive Children in a Negative World. This world is a negative world. But we're going to think about the positive. So where is it all written? What can you give to the children? Number one, we can give prayers for the children. We can give our prayers. That's one of the most important things that we can do. The greatest thing for this Bible school is pray, pray, pray. It's essential. It's vital. It's so necessary that God would open up the heart of these children that they could learn and that they could be taught of the Lord and they could understand and comprehend what the Lord is saying to them. And the first thing, pray for the children. We should start early in doing that. It's never too early to pray. And Howard Hendricks, Dallas Seminary, was asked the question, when should you start praying for the children? Howard Hendricks said, before they're conceived. And then when they're in the womb, pray for them. And then when they're in the crib, he's just saying it's never too early to pray. Pray for the children. And you cannot start praying too early for this Bible school if you haven't already. In the Bible, we find Hannah, and she prayed, 1 Samuel. She prayed for a child. And then when she had Samuel, she prayed again that he would be lent to the Lord, and she gave it to the Lord. And we find Menorah in the Bible, and she was praying that she would raise up Samson in the way that was right. And then we find a man by the name of David who prayed for Solomon, 1 Chronicles chapter 29. Job prayed for his children. It's time to pray. Never has there been a time that we need to pray. If ever there was a time, it's now. There's a new movie that's coming out, and it's by the makers of the same movies, Fireproof and Courageous. Remember those two? Well, this one is called War Room. War Room. Because there's power. It's a powerful thing when people pray. One guy said, our Sunday school teacher made this statement. He said, we need to stand and we need to fall. He said, we need to stand up for the Lord, stand up for Jesus, and then he said, we need to fall on our knees in prayer. How true that is. And I think we're going to hear a message in the not too far distant future on spiritual warfare. Because no wonder they call it war room. Prayer is battle. Fighting the devil. Because he hates our prayer. And he also fears our prayer. And so pray for our children. Pray for our children. Because it's needed most of all. That's what we can do. What can you do for our children? How can we reach children? How can we see children saved for Jesus? Number one, paramount, is this. Above all, pray. Pray for the children. And then, secondly, give them a godly example. Now, that doesn't mean that we're perfect, and they surely know that, but they want to know that we're real. They don't want to see a phony. Thank God we need to be what we are. We need to be God's servants, God's people. They children want to know how we handle our mess up. And they're watching all the time. Did you know that? They're watching. And we need to give Jesus to them. We need to present Christ. We need to let Jesus be shown in our lives. There's some things that they want to see in us as parents. And folks, let me tell you, it doesn't take a village. That's a statement that was made by Hillary Clinton several years ago, taken out from an African proverb, that it takes a village to raise children. I tell you what it takes. It takes parents. Amen. It takes moms and dads. Deuteronomy chapter, let me show you, chapter 6 of Deuteronomy, who is the people that need to raise children. Chapter 6 and verse 6 of Deuteronomy says, "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in the house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." That's who we have to raise children. A parent, nothing can take the place. And so give them a godly example. We need to be diligent in this. Get your child to Sunday school. Get your child to church. Somebody said a child that's brought up in Sunday school is seldom brought up in court. Isn't that a good statement? Those are brought up in Sunday school are seldom brought up in court. Prayers for our children. That's what we can give. Give a godly example. And then thirdly, we can give our unconditional love. Did you hear that? Give our unconditional love. Unconditional means not a matter of fact. No matter what kind of love. We're not talking about no matter what kind of love. We're talking about love. You say, well, if the kids, if they respond that way, then I'll be a good example. Or I'll give my love. Listen, good parents, listen to this, lead by example and enforce with love. I think it was Josh McDowell who said, rules without relationships only lead to rebellion. And so we need to love the children, not provoke them by nagging, perpetual fault finding, harsh criticism. One little fellow said, I was 6 years old before I found out my name wasn't Shut Up. And that's the way some children are being raised, you know, but that's not the way it ought to be. Let them see that their father and mother truly loves them. Wouldn't it be a better world if that were true? Parents have absolved their responsibility. John McKay was a coach for the University of California several years ago. He had a son that was a good football player. And some people talked to, I think the boy was, what is it, about the receiver? Yeah. And John McKay, somebody told him, said, your son is such a good ball player, we need to sign him up. John McKay said, listen, he said, I love my boy whether he ever plays football or not. He's important to me because he's my boy, and I'm going to raise him the right way. God help us to see that. Some parents put undue pressure on children, trying to get them to achieve. And if they don't, make straight A's, if they're not really good athletically, we need to express love. We need to express love to that child. If they don't, that girl don't win a beauty contest, still show them love. Chuck Swindoll said that children need hugs, not drugs. Amen? Children need hugs, not drugs. So what can we give our children? We can give them our prayers. We can give them a good example, a godly example. We can give them unconditional love. Then we can give constant encouragement. Don't we all need encouragement? I do. We need encouragement. Catch our children doing something right. And just like a plant needs water, we all need encouragement. Anybody here don't need encouragement? I don't think so. I think we all do. As I said, suppose that son don't win the game. Suppose he don't do everything right. Bill Glass, a pro football player turned preacher, Bill Glass was preaching in prison. And he asked the inmates, how many here, when you grew up, your father said you would never amount to anything? You'd never be anybody. You'd end up in prison. How many of you here, your father told you that? And in that prison, Bill Glass said just about every hand went up. Almost every hand. We need to affirm our children. We need to lift them up. We need to do that. And then we need to have a listening ear. A listening ear. Listen to your children. A teenage girl gave a sad testimony. She messed up. She went astray, got in the wrong crowd, and felt such guilt that she wanted to talk to her mom and dad. She went to her dad and said, Daddy, I need to talk to you. He said, I'm watching TV. She went to her mother and said, Mom, I've just got to talk to you. She said, I'm tired. I need to rest. And it said that this teenage girl suffered rejection. Something happened there. It said that she went on later to be a prostitute. I tell you, we better give time to our children. Did you know that? They say the best way to spell love is T-I-M-E. And I told that to my kids and Kathy, you know, when she wanted me to take a little time with her when she's just little, she'd say, Dad, remember, T-I-M-E. love is special. You know, they have a way of reminding us of things, don't they, that we've said. And that's why they're watching, those little eyes are watching just every minute. So we need to listen. Better listen when they want to talk. And then we need to lead our children. We need to give them leadership. There was a time in our Sunday school lesson, and Joshua was about that today. If ever there is a need of leadership in every rank, in the country, in the state, everyone. Leadership, whether it's the pastor of the church, you know, God gives the church a pastor, gives a country a president, gives a state a governor, gives a city a mayor. And so leadership is so needed. Luther Burbank, the horticulturist, said if we spend as little time with our plants as we did with our children, we'd live in a jungle of weeds. And so time. You don't grow plants without careful care, right? Ladies, men, and you, the same with children. We ought to lead our children. We ought to lead them to Jesus. Did you know there's promises in the Bible that teaches a household religion, household salvation? There really is. Acts 16:31 comes to mind, the most familiar one, where the Bible says, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I could believe in jail. He said, what must I do to be saved? And Paul said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. But that's not the end of the verse. Three more words. It says, and thy house. That's a promise. If we live as we should, and we have Jesus, and we live for Jesus, and they see Jesus in us, and they know that we love them, it's going to be easier to see that family saved. A household salvation. And then, of course, you remember this also in the book of Genesis, chapter 7, verse 1. God said, before the flood, before the ark, you know, was occupied, God said, come thou. He said to Noah, chapter 7, verse 1, Genesis, come thou into the ark and all thy house. Come, is your house in? Is your household safe? That's something important. Children need to be told that we're going to lead them the right way. Don't let someone else get the blessing of seeing your child saved. Proverbs 22:6 is still in the Bible. Train up a child in the way that he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart. I believe that's a promise. I think we ought to thumb the promises. I believe we ought to claim them for Jesus, don't you? Lead those children. Lead them to Jesus. And then, in closing, the seventh thing that we should do to save our children, what we should give them. We should loose them and let them go. The time comes. You know, when a child is born and the cord is cut, there's a severance that begins right there. That ends when that child goes away to school or into the military or away to get a job. But in that time, we may feel like, well, poor little child don't love me. No, that's just natural. That's just normal, isn't it? There's a severance that begins. It's just natural and normal. Don't say, well, they don't care for me anymore. That is just something that should be, you know, should be normal. Proper parenting is a process of orderly losing control of your children. Did you hear that? Proper parenting is a process of orderly losing control of your children. Now that's painful. Now it really is. You know about the empty nest syndrome. We suffer from that. I've got a daughter, her husband right now. All three of the children, boys, have gotten married. They've moved out. They wasn't kicked out of the nest, but they, you know, it happens. And they've got wonderful women. Thank God. I had a little part in all the ceremony. But anyway, I thought of Max Lucado. Anybody know about Max Lucado or read his book? I love to read from him. He said when he was just a teenager, about 18 or 19, that he went away from Texas, where his parents lived, to a new job in Dalton, Georgia. And he said he was in a dimly lit phone booth calling back to his mom and dad in Texas because he said the work was hard, it hadn't gone well. Two of his best friends had left and gone back home. But he had promised his parents that he was going to stay with it. He was going to stick it out there in that first job that he had. He was going to stay there throughout the summer. But he said that 3 months that was left, he said it looked like an eternity. And so he goes to that phone booth and he calls his mom and dad. And he's talking to his mom. And she could tell from his voice that he'd really like to come home. And the conversation went on. She said, Max, we'd really like for you to come. And she, about that time, the father, who was on the extension, said, Max, said, we'd like for you to come, but said, we've broken your plate. We've broken your plate. And he said that was Texas talk for Max. It's time to grow up. And he said, thank God for a father that not only gave him wings, but give him the power to kick it out of the nest. And so that time comes. So what can we do for our children? I hope that this has been a help to you.